All right. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 42. Let's just start by reading the first three verses of chapter 42, beginning with verse 1. Now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kareah, Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do." Let's pray. Father, we ask as we go through several verses and chapters here rather quickly, we ask for your blessing, your anointing. We ask for you to open the word to us and teach us the things that we would desire to know. Lord, we ask that we really believe decisions that we're making are truly of you. You've told us that you open doors, you close doors. No man can open and close other than you. And we thank you for that, Lord. We ask for special blessings here in Palm Desert, whatever you want to do there, wherever you want to do it, Lord, through whoever. And so we just leave it all in your hands, God. Keep us focused upon you and not material things. So we love you, we trust you, and we leave it all in your hands. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. We pray specifically for NCIC that you would bless each guy there, that every bondage would be broken, and that the gates of hell would be terrified right now because their plans are being thwarted for eternity. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. What's going on here in Jeremiah is the Jews wanted to receive counsel from the Lord. All right? We're going to see, though, that when Jeremiah returned to them with the Lord's counsel, rather than receive it, they rejected that counsel. Let's look at verses 4 of 7 of chapter 43. You wondered how I was going to do all these chapters so quick? Look at that. Verse 4, chapter 43. So Johanan, the king of Kareah, all the captains of the forces and all the people would not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. So they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And they went as far as the Tophanahs. And that's, I read verses 4 and verse 7. Rather than receive God's counsel, they rejected God's counsel. Oh boy, does that still happen today? Oh man. Christians who come to the Lord seeking counsel from God, receive the counsel from the Lord, often leave rejecting his counsel to their own ruin. And you think about that and you think, why would anybody want to reject, or not even maybe not want to, but why would anybody reject the counsel of the Lord? It doesn't make any sense. Well, Jeremiah here gives us a clue, and maybe we can get some insight into our own lives. He gives us a clue why people, you know, would reject the counsel of the Lord. In verse 22 of chapter 42, he said this. Verse 20 of chapter 42. "For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us and we will do it.'" The Jews who came seeking God's counsel were hypocrites in their hearts. That's what this says. They were hypocrites in their hearts. They rejected God's counsel because their hearts were in the habits of hypocrisy. What are the habits of the heart? Hypocrisy. Well, you saw some of them as you were reading through this text this week. We're going to see them as we're going to look at some verses here, and we'll also discover the habits of the hearts that hearken to the Lord's counsel. There are several things that are in our lives that, because we walk in these ways, and it's just a habit, we reject the Lord's counsel. There's about three things that we can do that will cause us to accept the Lord's counsel. And how many of you here this morning are really candidates to know what God's saying and want to walk in God's ways? I mean, do you really? Then we need to deal with our lives. And sometimes we get so confused and so frustrated, and there are just maybe a few things, maybe a couple of things in this list in your life, in my life, that if we just simply make some adjustments, we can hear His voice, we can be open to what He wants to say, and walk in His ways instead of ours. I've noticed that every mess I get into, and I get into a bunch, but I notice every mess I get into, it's because I have chosen to walk my way instead of God's way. The yabbits, right? I know what you say, God. You know, yabbit, yabbit. Yeah, that's true, but. Yeah, that's what you say, but. Yeah, I know what God's word says, but my situation is different, my circumstance, my, you know, this will work. And we go through that whole thing. Well, we're going to see two things this morning. The first thing we're going to see is the habits that lead your heart into the hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel. Now, let me bring you up to date to what's happening in these chapters. Let's just do a real quick review. The Jews had come under the control of Babylon. The Babylonians had appointed Gedaliah as governor over Jerusalem and all of Judah. Despising Babylonian rule, a Jew named Ishmael murdered Gedaliah and several Babylonian officials, then fled towards Ammon with Jewish captives. Now, Johanan and Jezaniah, with their forces, had caught up with them to set the captives free. Now, for fear of what the Babylonians might do, they themselves were fleeing towards Egypt. Chapter 41 ends with verse 16. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, the mighty men of war, and the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. So as chapter 42 opens, the Jews now are seeking God's counsel on whether to continue toward Egypt or return to Jerusalem. So that's what's going on. You should have read this week. You know that. Trying to bring it up to speed for us here. Now what they're doing is they want God's counsel, all right, of what they are supposed to do. Do they continue running towards Egypt, or do they turn around and go back to Jerusalem? 42:1. Now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kareah, Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Please, let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do." The Jews said to Jeremiah, "Pray for us to the Lord," did you get that? "Your God." Middle of verse 42, "and pray for us to the Lord, your God." First habit that leads your heart to hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel is lack of communion with Jesus. Okay, you pray to the Lord, your God. It wasn't, "You pray to the Lord, our God." It was, "Pray to the Lord, your God." You can call Jesus your friend. You can call God your Father. I hear a lot of, and I've shared this too, but I want to bring balance, man. I hear a lot about the fear and reverence of God today. There's a revival of the Reformation concept of God as austere and severe, not to be really easily entreated. Well, I'll tell you what I much prefer. I much prefer the teaching of Jesus that you are to come to the Father as children. Isn't that what he said? He says, unless you become as a little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So his counsel is, when you're going to come into the presence of the Father, come as little children. He says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Why? It's because the disciples were restraining the children from coming to Jesus and disturbing him. Listen to me, guys. You can call God Abba, which means daddy. Don't create a distance between yourself and God that Jesus has bridged. Do you understand that? Jesus bridged the difference. Job, in the book of Job, when he was so devastated over all the losses he was going through and everything that happened, he cried out, if a man die, shall he live again? And another place he answers his own question, no, that's not possible because there is no daysman. There is no mediator. There is no one who could stand between God and man and touch both at the same time. So Jesus Christ came and became the daysman. He became the mediator. He is the bridge between us and the Father. Don't violate that. Don't think you can't go to God. And what you are doing is you are violating what Jesus Christ has already done for you. He has made access into the presence of the Father so you can come into his presence and you can cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, I need counsel. I need help. I need comfort. I need answers. You can come into his presence in the name and the person of Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody violate that for you. You have that availability. Within the sphere of reverence and fear, that is there. But in that sphere, you can run to your Father's lap and constantly interrupt him. He's not too busy. Wait a minute, I'm running the world right now. Talk to you in a moment. No. You can always interrupt him. Understand that. Within the sphere of reverence. Look at verse 4, 42. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is a pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us that we obey the voice of the Lord our God. The people said they would obey whether it is pleasing or displeasing. The literal reading of pleasing or displeasing is good or evil. So they are saying, we will obey the Lord your God, whether what he says is good or evil. Here is another habit that leads your heart into the hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel, and that is lack of confidence in Jesus Christ. You need to understand the Lord's counsel for us is never evil. It is always good. And I know Christians that really won't let their whole life be given over to Jesus Christ because they're afraid of what God will do. He's going to take everything I have. He's going to destroy my life. He's going to mess everything up and put it back together again. And it will be nothing like I want because you don't understand. God only wants what's right. He doesn't do anything evil. And these people didn't understand that. Earlier in Jeremiah, God said, chapter 29, verse 11, we put a whole study with this. For I know the thoughts that I think for you, towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen to me, guys. Please understand this. Any boundaries that God sets for any of us are good. Any boundaries. We may not like them. We may think he's being restrictive. We may think he's being hardcore when he says no, and he puts the boundaries and says, you're not going there, you're not going to do this, but you need to understand that any boundaries that God sets for us are absolutely good. You can have the utmost confidence in his care and concern for your life both today and anytime in the future. Confidence in Jesus. Let's pick it up, verse 7, chapter 42. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Jehohanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, 'We will not dwell in this land,' disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, 'No, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell.'" God desired that his people would be content in the land as a testimony of his mercy towards them. His mercy towards them then would be an example to the Babylonians. They weren't content to remain in the land. They wanted to better themselves. Another habit that leads our hearts to the hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel: lack of contentment with Jesus. We don't always want to be God's example of contentment, do we? Yet God wants us to learn to be content in all circumstances, whether we're abased or whether we abound. Godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. God wants us to be content. Not always striving for, and I said that, I think it was last week, probably the majority of Christians, man, are so bound up now because they're looking for then. If I can just get rid of this, if this can just be taken care of, if this prayer can just be answered, if this need can be met, if I can make this sale, if I can get this job, if I can get this marriage, if I can buy this house, if I can move to this area, and it goes on and on and on. If we could only, then we'd be content. And he's trying to teach us one of the habits of not listening to God's counsel is we're not content. If we're content in where we are, then we can hear his voice through the word of God as he leads us and guides us every step of the way. But if we're arguing with him over our circumstance, am I making sense to anybody at all? Nobody here argues with God over your circumstance, do they? Why me? This isn't fair. God, get me out of this. It isn't my fault. It's their fault. Hurt them, but deliver me. You know, if we learn to be content, and when we're not listening to his counsel. Peter, verse 15. "Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon you. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it.' And I have this day declared to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, or anything which he has sent you by me. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell." They had determined to obey God only if his will agreed with their desires. This is another habit that leads our hearts into the hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel. And that's living carnally for our own desires. Living carnally for our own desires. Pick it up at verse 1, chapter 43. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, all these words, that Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, "You speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, 'Do not go to Egypt to dwell there.' But Barak, the son of Neriah, has set you against us to deliver us into the land of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away to Babylon." It is often true of those who reject God's counsel that they justify their decision by blaming the messenger. And that's what they were doing. Your message is wrong. It isn't what God is saying. You're not telling us the truth to justify their choices. Let's jump ahead for a moment and take a look at life in Egypt over in chapter 44. See what's going on there. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt, who dwell at Migdal, at Tahpenes, at Noph, and in the country of Pathros, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are desolation, and no one dwells in them. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they did not know, they nor you nor your fathers. However, I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, 'Oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate.' But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day." God pointed out that they had seen others before them dealt with in discipline, yet they themselves were committing the exact same sins. This is another habit that leads to our hearts, causing our hearts to move into hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel, and that is the lack of comparison. Realizing, learning from others, learning how God deals, watching other people. You think yourself unique, a special case, different than others you have seen God deal with. God is consistent, man. Be not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Man. It's going to happen. And we look around and we think, well, I'm a different case. I'm a different person. My situation is different. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it is not. The same result will end with the same choices. Verse 7. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourselves to cut off from you the man and woman, child and infant out of Judah, leaving none to remain? In that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not been humbled to this day, nor have they feared. They have not walked in my law or in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die, from the least to the greatest, by the sword and by famine, and they shall be an oath an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape. For centuries, the Jews were prone to adopt the pagan culture around them. And they did this again in Egypt. Here's another reason that leads your heart into rejecting God's counsel, the lack of consecration. Look at verse 15. And all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, "As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For them we had plenty of food, were well off, and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine." The women also said, "And when we burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? Heaven has no queen. Today Mary is regarded by millions as the Queen of Heaven. She is not the Queen of Heaven. And to call her that is idolatry in the worst way possible." The Jews temporarily prospered in Egypt. They saw their prosperity as evidence that they had chosen the right counsel after all. That's another habit that leads your hearts to the hypocrisy of rejecting God's counsel. Looking at circumstances. Many times, circumstances seem to appear to get better when you do things opposite of God's counsel. Anybody ever experienced that? You start walking in a way opposite of what the Word says and God's counsel, and all of a sudden it starts looking better. But it's only temporary. It's only temporal. Look at verse 20. "Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer, saying, 'The incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and did not it come into his mind? So the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore your land is a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without an inhabitant, as it is this day. Because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies, therefore this calamity has happened to you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, 'Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Yet a small number who escaped the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy who sought his life." Gals, I'm sorry to say this. I'm just reading the Bible to you. Some of the women were causing problems. Can you dig it? Huh? Now, we have gone way beyond that in our culture, and women cause absolutely no problems at all today, but they were happening there. It was the wives who were the driving force behind the worship and the offerings to the Queen of Heaven. This is another habit that leads to rejecting God's counsel. Lack of compliance with God's design and order. Especially for the family and the roles of husbands and wives. That's why I'm trying to harangue you gentlemen and ladies to come to our couples retreat. Families are out of order. Kids are out of shape. Things aren't together, and it's a result of not walking according to God's order, and we're not hearing His counsel about our families, about our children. We have a seminar coming up on dating. Every parent of a teenager or a sub-teenager ought to be here for that seminar in December, man, to see what God's Word says about dating and raising our children. You're going to save them a whole lot of grief. You're going to save them a whole lot of pain. You're going to save them a whole lot of agony and disappointment and tragedy if we walk according to God's Word. And one of the reasons we don't hear God's counsel is because we refuse to comply with God's order and God's design because we think we have a better idea. And mom, dad, husband, wife, I want to tell you, your marriage will blossom into abundantly above anything that you ever thought possible if you start walking according to God's purpose and comply with God's design for that marriage. Boy, do I have to hurry. Is that the old time or the new time? Let me real quickly give you got to hear this, man. It doesn't work. It doesn't work if you don't hear this part, man. All right. Those are the things that we do so we don't hear God's voice and God's counsel. Let me give you real quick three things that we need to do to hear God's counsel. Okay, we can't leave it there. All right, how we don't. Let's hear how we do. The habits that lead our hearts into the happiness of receiving God's counsel. The Jews were like counselees who reject God's counsel. In chapter 45, you run into, and we'll do this real quickly, you run into a counselee who received God's counsel. 45:1. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the instruction of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch." Baruch was Jeremiah's secretary. These verses are out of chronological order. And I told you that when we started. The book of Jeremiah is not in chronological order, but they are in logical order. When he put it together, he put it in logical order instead of chronological order. And as you read them, you see Baruch in what would call a we would call a spiritual depression, needing God's counsel. Verse 3, "You said, 'Woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing. I find no rest.'" In God's answer, the heart cry of Baruch, there are three habits that if we get involved with, we'll hear God's counsel. Number one, let God search your heart. Look at verse 3 again. "You said, 'Woe is me now, for the Lord has grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest.'" God knows the heart of every man, of every woman, of every child. Yet David in the Psalms writes, 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." God searches your heart. But here's the deal, man. You must allow, you must let, you must permit Him to give you the results of His search. "Search my heart, O God." We pray it. You pray this. "Search my heart, O God, and show me if there be any wicked way in me." And He shows you and you go, "Hold on, I don't want to know." When we release Him to search our hearts, we have to be open for Him to tell us what He found. "Okay, I searched, Chuck. Can we talk now?" "Well, maybe later." "Can you put it in writing and just mail it to me or something?" We have to be open to what He has found and give Him permission to reveal. You can easily spot a person who has given God permission to reveal their heart. Because that person is gracious. That person is merciful. That person is forgiving. They are humble. They are willing and ready and able and anxious to extend to others what God has extended to them. Because they see what God has done when they know what they're really like. And they start letting other people off the hook when they see what they're... Doesn't that make sense to you? When you know the grace that God has given you because He reveals to you what a jerk you are. Then you see you have other jerks in your life and you go, whoa, God's given me grace. I have to give everybody else around me grace. And you see those kind of people so gracious and full of compassion and love and they're just being with loving everybody. That's because God has shown them their heart and they've allowed that to happen. Secondly, sounds like a funny phrase, let God be sovereign. He is sovereign. How do we let Him be sovereign? He is sovereign if we let Him or not. Whether we like it or not, God is still sovereign. But we don't allow Him to be sovereign in a sense in our lives. We fail to recognize His sovereignty over all the circumstances in our lives. Baruch again, verse 4, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up. That is this whole land. God was and would be sovereign, and all He had said He would do. Baruch had only to recognize God's sovereignty. You have only to recognize God's sovereignty and receive His counsel. Do you understand? Search me, God. I'm going to let you be sovereign in my life, in every circumstance in my life. I'm going to let you be sovereign. And thirdly and lastly, live in surrender. Look at verse 5. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord, but I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. This reminds me of Jesus' words in Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake, he says, will find it. Baruch was simply to surrender to God's will and ways. In so doing, God promised him he would be spiritually satisfied. I guess my counsel this morning is simply surrender yourself to the ways of God. And you too will experience spiritual satisfaction. In losing your life, you're going to find it. In letting go of the stuff you're trying to hang on to. That's what I'm attempting to do in the decisions I shared with you earlier. God, I don't want my purpose or my will. I don't want my vision. All my life I've heard the pastor has to have a vision. We need to move that towards that vision. And I've come to realize that the Bible doesn't say that. This is our vision. The Word of God is our vision. Be a light unto our feet and a light in the path and we'll walk. This is the Word of God, man. It's not Chuck Woolley's vision for the future of the Coachella Valley. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's going on in my own life. I just want to read the Bible to you and see what God does for us, man. Does that make sense? Surrender your life totally, completely, and you will have a spiritual satisfaction like you've never had before. In fact, stand up as you hear my last statement so you know I'm through. All right? Because you're not listening anymore. You need to know I'm through, okay? So stand up, listen. There is never anything wrong with God's counsel. It is the habits of our heart that dictate whether we'll receive or reject God's counsel. Let God search you, for He already has. Let God be sovereign, for He already is. And then live in surrender to His will and His ways, and your spiritual life will be absolutely, abundantly above anything you ever thought possible. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that, I pray, Lord, that this section in Jeremiah, I know we read a lot of verses, but Lord, that's the power, your word. And Lord, I pray that we would learn this morning what it means to hear your counsel and walk in your counsel. And Lord, that long list of all the things that we do, that we find ourselves caught up in, Lord, that we move from really hearing what you're saying to us. Lord, teach us bottom line to surrender. Lord, I surrender all. All to you I freely give, Lord. Teach us how to do that. And Lord, I know that if we do, if we allow you to search, because you already have, we let you be sovereign because you already are, and surrender our lives to you, then we'll hear your counsel and walk in your ways, and our lives will be what you've desired that they would be. As we close with this song, just let the Spirit do in your life what he wants to do. If you were convicted of some of the things, as I was, as I was studying this, that I've allowed to get in my way, habits, just things, and we do them without thinking because they're habits, and they get in our way of hearing God's counsel. Confess those things today, whatever they would be. All, one, several, a few. Confess them. Release them. Let them go. Then walk a surrendered life, not events, but a life of surrender, 24/7. I surrender my will. I surrender my opinion. I surrender my rights in our marriages, in our ministries, in our lives. We surrender. Make it your prayer, would you? As we close with this song.
Even when the darkness surrounds my life, sovereign, you are still sovereign, even when confused.